The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Film Vault. Yeah, Film Vault. Welcome to Film Vault. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts. Thank you for joining us today for top five movies directed by women. Anderson,
the ladies!
That's right, the ladies have directed our top five films today.
It's the broads.
I realize that we shortchange actresses, female directors, females in general a lot on the show. And
man's world.
The filmmaking is kind of a man's world. It's not dominated... especially the directors, the director area is dominated by men.
Well, the ladies are too busy having babies.
It's true.
Cooking, making the sandwiches.
They handicap themselves. Seriously, though, it says time we paid a little bit of a bit more attention.
You know what? The wife, probably about a year ago now, she said, you know what? I don't even know if you can name top five female directors.
And I said, female directors or movies from
what are we doing this week? We're doing five film movie directors, right?
Top five movies directed. It's right here in the title. Top five movies directed by women.
Well, I'm fucked.
It's right here in the title. It's right here in the title.
Wait a minute.
Logan know that and you didn't?
I don't know, because you guys have separate correspondence.
That's
hold on. Let me pull up my text, because this is very upsetting. Mm. Very upsetting.
If you're looking for a text from me, you'll specifically see that I avoided saying female directors.
This is very
upsetting. There's no possible way we could name top five female.
Why not? We would have to do top three, is what you're saying?
How dare you?
Brian, come
on. Put
your
phone away.
I'm looking for the text. This is horrible. This is really awful. This throws we should start up. We shouldn't do a show. Top five. Wait, okay. Top five movies. Shit! Damn it! What are we going to do?
You really have a different list?
I really have a separate list.
I think this is the first time in film history that one of us has fucked up a list.
I have top five female directors, which is a fantastic list.
Can you pick one movie from each director?
I don't want to do that.
That would keep in line
with
it.
It's a very different list.
It is a different list. That's why we chose this one.
Here's what we'll do. Here's what we're going to do. All right. I'm going to do my top five female lady directors over here, right? You're going to do top five movies directed by a lady. A few weeks from now, we flip-flop. We flip it, we flop it. We do a whole other episode. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic.
If that is something you want to hear, tweet us, leave it in the comment section, and we'll do it.
Because you're going to fuck up. You're going to leave a bunch of great movies off.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Well, I'm calling name five.
Yeah,
no films.
No also-rans? No also-rans.
No, must be also.
I'm doing the ladies. All right. This is really upsetting and embarrassing. I apologize to everybody.
Today's topic is top five films directed by women / top five female directors.
Wow.
How'd you get that so wrong?
I don't know, because I don't read good. And it was all through text. This is why we got to talk. We have to talk things
through. That's a good point. This leads me into something that I wanted to bring up, which is I imagine you're very, very busy, and I'm remiss not to have brought up. This is a movie show. You're working on a movie, and you've been working on a movie. I haven't brought it up, but I'm very curious about it. I'd like to know how it's going. You're using a lot of listeners as a crew.
I don't know if I'd use the word using.
You're employed.
I crewed up through my website, and I put a call out there on both this Film Vault as well as the After Disaster. Got a bunch of great submissions. I picked the cream of the crop from the submissions, and I had a great crew. So far, I think every single person that worked on the shoot, both days, some of them, have responded with, can't wait for the next one, which is always a good sign.
Yeah.
It's a good sign.
Well, that's what I say to people when I don't like their movie. I was like, can't wait for the next one.
Nope. It's not like that at all. They say that they want to come back and work on the next set, Brian.
Good.
They haven't seen the fucking movie.
They want to be used.
It's not a live show where you see it as it's happening,
sure,
Brian.
Sure.
All right. So yes, I'm in editing hell right now as well as a short film. It's a short film. As well as Olympic hockey going on. So I got my hands full.
What is the target length of said project?
I'd say it's gonna be like 6-7 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. We shot it on Alexa. It looks great. I had a big crew.
I know what that is.
It's what they shoot everything on.
It's a camera.
It's the top of the line camera. Video digital camera that they use, 4K. We shot it in 2K, Brad.
Okay.
Shot it in 240 aspect ratio.
Okay.
This is all boring to everybody.
No, but it is a film podcast.
It's an inappropriate movie. It involves minors. Wow.
Of course it does.
And a man who wants his personal space back.
Is Corona involved in some way?
Nope, but he was there taking pictures. Because we shot a lot of it at a beach. And Corona was there all day. Let's talk movies.
We
let's
are talking
about,
movies.
Okay, let's talk about the movies that we've seen since the last time we saw each
Anderson,
other.
Anderson, one of our hosts is making a movie, and people want to hear about it.
Okay, well, I talk about it plenty over there at the After Disaster. Go ahead.
Well, no,
head on over there.
To that podcast.
Head on over to the After Disaster where I talk at length about the process and how I hate editing.
God forbid you talk about it on a movie podcast.
Editing is awful, Brian.
Are you chopping? Are you doing the chopping?
Yeah, because I'm OCD, too, so I it takes me way longer than it should.
I understand.
Sit there and fiddle. I was up till 5:30 in the morning, and then I was supposed to go to bed. I'm like, hey, let's turn on the Russian hockey game. Mm. Ended up going to bed at 8.
Do you have any assistant editors?
Waking up at 10:45. Not a good time.
No.
Let's go.
Do you have any assistant people helping you with the editing?
No, I do the edit because I'm OCD. I can't. I'm a control freak, and I got to do it all by myself, which sucks.
Do you have a music supervisor?
No, I'm looking. That'll be next. That'll be after, Brian. I'll score it afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. If it needs a score,
it's in trouble. I'm hoping to get away with no score, but I'm probably going to use a score.
Well, it's only 6 minutes long.
If you tune in and there's a score, you know that I feel like
it needed to be punched
up a little bit. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
I was rusty as fuck, though, and I'm very lucky that I had really good people working that I was working with. Here's the deal. All you guys that helped me out, and I thanked you last week because somebody sent emails saying thanks for thanking me. I could have done it all without all of you, but it wouldn't have been nearly as good. Okay? I hate when people say, I couldn't have done it without you. Right. I could have been out there by myself holding the camera.
It'd be garbage, but
it would have been shit. Yeah. I think it's going to turn out decent thanks to all your help. So here we go.
What is the target date that people can lay eyes on this?
Brian, I don't know. There's plenty
of... Target date? Summer?
Next week
fall?
When we're not in a rush and I'm not angry about everything else, we'll talk about stuff more. Okay?
Oh.
But right now, we're going to talk about movies that we've seen since the last time we've seen each other.
You're talking about Flick Fashions.
Yes.
Flick Fashions, the past films we've seen in the past week, we'll confess, hence the name Flick Fashions.
Hey, no cussing in my movie. No fucks, no shits. I don't have any
Six
cussing.
6 minutes long. I would hope you could bite your tongue for that long.
Well, the one that I made, the last actual short that I made on film, I think there was like 75 fucks.
Was that 3-6?
3-6, a lot of fucks.
That was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I barely, no, you'd finished that before we met, I think.
No, it was when we were working together and I gave you a copy and you were one of the few people that gave me a, eh. And I realized right then that I hated you more than I had previously thought.
I was being constructive.
That's not constructive.
No, it's not at all.
I read your book.
Oh, no.
Next week.
Oh, no.
We'll talk about it next week.
Well, you don't read fast. You didn't read my book, you liar.
I read the Cliff Notes.
Oh, there's already a Cliff Notes version? Jesus Christ. I can't wait to see what they wrote.
The Cliff Notes are what I wrote online about it.
Oh, no.
Oh, not good stuff.
No.
Check out Anderson Cowan. AndersonCowan.com. I'm just reviewing. I'm allowed to review. Fair use.
What if the first review was on AndersonCowan.com?
Oh, it should be. I need this book now.
Here. You know where a copy is.
Where?
In Ann's office.
Ann doesn't have an office. You're talking about producer Ann of Loveline, who apparently got a book, but I didn't. All right, this is all falling
apart. I didn't send it.
Exactly.
I want you to read it.
Exactly. You didn't send it.
Anyhow.
You know what? Was I clear last week what happened? He brought in a copy that I could borrow.
Yeah.
Here you go. Would you like to borrow my book?
It's an advanced reading copy. I need to have a couple of copies.
Who does that?
It's an advanced reading copy.
I don't like anything you're saying. Talk to me about the movies you saw since I saw you last.
Oh, you're talking about Flick Fashions.
Yes.
I saw 3 movies. 2 bad, 1 good.
All right.
First, a movie that barely even really needs to be mentioned. I saw RoboCop. I saw the remake, reboot,
relaunch
of RoboCop. It's out there in the cultural ether, in the zeitgeist.
Let me ask you this. How's Ed 209? Is he kick-ass in it?
Ed 209? Yeah. Oh, no. It's garbage.
Really?
I don't even think they name Ed 209.
Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure they don't.
Why do they do that? They leave out the best parts. When they remake these movies, they're like, let's leave out the best parts.
Did they have called it version 209, but there was nothing. There was no.
They didn't call him Ed 209?
I see the slogan?
I saw the trailer.
I can't remember. I don't think they did. It didn't jump out of my mind.
He was all over the trailer. I saw him plenty.
The actual machine.
Yeah.
Not the name.
But yeah, they never named him in the trailer.
This is directed by Jose Padilla.
Jose, what are you doing, dude? Why don't you put Ed 209 in there? What's wrong with
this? Stars a guy named Joel Kinnaman, Gary Oldman, Michael Keaton, Abby Cornish, Jackie Earle Haley, and Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, Jackie Earle's in this. What's he do?
He's,
Is that him?
Yeah.
Jackie Earle Haley.
Everyone in this movie is swimming uphill. He's swimming upstream.
He was the kid, what was his name, Tracy?
Kelly Leak.
Kelly Leak in Bad News Bears.
Oh, yeah, he was Rorschach in the fucking Watchmen.
He was also
a character actor.
A guy who touches children and little children. Oh, he's so good in Little Children.
He's an Oscar. Is he an Oscar award winner? He's certainly nominated.
I know he's nominated. He may have won for that role. Deserved for sure. And the pool scene in Little Children. God damn, that's a great movie.
Upsetting.
Have you seen The Little Children?
No, I've not seen The Little Children.
What the fuck?
I saw RoboCop. Does that upset you? Okay, so
Logie, you seen Little Children?
Yeah, it was a good movie.
It's a great movie, right?
Yeah. How about I think you're right. I think he did win that year.
How about that pool scene?
Oh, yeah, that was the best.
That was so funny. Yeah, so wrong.
Creepy movie.
There's so much.
But really good.
Such a good movie.
There's so much to be said about RoboCop, but then again, we'd just be treading water and going nowhere.
It's not
just like
time.
Much like the movie. The one thing I will observe about the movie itself is, so there's a, I want to do more research into this, and maybe I'll talk more about this later if it's interesting, but like later in later weeks, but
I doubt
big
it.
Movies, especially special effects movies, but big movies that spend a lot of money, big budget movies that pin their hopes to the wrong guy, like this Joel Kinnaman character, as I like to say, charisma free. He is
he's a guest on Film Vault next week.
Oh my God. Joel, can't wait to see Joel.
He's very uncomfortable.
He's very uncomfortable. Please delete this tape. Joel is the wrong guy to carry this film. And the film collapses under its own weight. It's unfair to blame the whole thing on one guy, but I feel like Jurassic Park really ruined this for everyone, which is they didn't have any big stars in the movie at the time. You know, they trotted out Sam Neill and Jeff Goldblum and a bunch of fucking dinosaurs.
All right,
the biggest
all right.
Of all time. And that became the model
Brian,
for, hey.
That's fine. That's fine, though, if you cast the right person, okay?
Agreed.
What you're saying is actually I hate movies, and I'm going to talk about one in a few moments here, if you ever shut up, where they just put a bunch of actors in there that with names, and they think, oh, this will be good. Or they just put, like, one actor. Like, it's a vehicle. All Will Smith's fans will show up. It doesn't have to be a good movie.
But it doesn't make you think, after seeing that documentary Casting By, that casting really should have its own Oscar, because casting can really make or break
a lot of
movies.
I don't know. I'm on both sides of the fence simultaneously on that one. Both sides.
But then you look at a movie like Dredd, where Carl Urban was great, and almost a very, very, very similar role with the mask, with the cop thing, with the monotone, and the blah, 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 all that stuff. And he was great. Obviously, the movie was better, but you realize how much casting can impact a movie
so
like this.
So what you're telling us is
RoboCop
not,
is garbage.
Not to see RoboCop. RoboCop. What's the other movie you saw?
I saw another movie that wasn't very good.
Uh-huh.
It was assigned to me.
Mm. What?
Talk about Freeway.
Not very good.
Talk about Freeway.
What's wrong with
Freeway
you,
Freeway is not a good movie.
What?
1996.
Wait. Before you even continue with your drivel and your bullshit, Freeway is ultimately independent, raw, hilarious, and filled with spirit.
I agree with 2.5 of those things.
What don't you know? What's the
definitely
half?
Independent?
Yeah,
it's kind of funny for some of the wrong
hilarious.
Reasons.
Hilarious. How you doing, Bob?
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
Some good shit.
Free spirit. Full of spirit, I suppose. Kiefer Sutherland and Reese Witherspoon are the stars of Freeway. This is based on, inspired by, Little Red Riding Hood. In case you weren't clear on that, the opening animation is literally Little Red Riding Hood. It is the wolf chasing Little Red Riding Hood.
Give you help.
And,
get in the mood.
And then 7 minutes into the movie, there's a Little Red Riding Hood cartoon on the television.
All right.
The villain is named Bob Wolverton.
Okay.
And he has a wolf sculpture in his house.
Having some fun with it.
And he literally, at one point, dresses up as Reese Witherspoon's grandma and hides in her bed.
Which was hilarious. It was quite funny.
I definitely laughed. I don't know if I was supposed to laugh.
Yeah, you're supposed to laugh. Absolutely supposed to laugh. This is a fun, dark comedy, Brian. I didn't. You know what? I would actually be surprised if you liked this, and I would say, what the fuck's the world coming to?
Well, other than that, it's pretty solid.
I don't expect you to like this. A USC grad who's in a frat? No, he's never going to like a movie like this.
Why was she? Why
never.
Did she? This is made for guys who are in frat. This is all about girls kicking ass and stabbing guys and shooting guys in the face.
Guys in frats don't like that. They just want chicks with big tits and like dudes with muscles.
That's what this is. This is a hot chick, Reese Witherspoon, shooting up and causing havoc, beating up guys.
She makes a shiv out of a toothbrush.
Why does she have? Yes, she did. Why does she have a southern accent?
Because she was white trash
from fucking Torrance.
Southern white trash.
She's from Yorba Linda.
I don't know.
Why does she have a southern accent?
It's fine to make it more white trash.
Nope, there's no reason for that. Completely distracting.
You disappoint me, Brian.
Cartoonish characters. There was like cop number. When I saw the credits, it was cop number one played by this guy. Cop number two played by this guy. Cop number three played by this guy. And it was like. The movie felt like a rough draft that never got revised, got added to.
It's called an independent movie.
You're allowed to revise your drafts. You don't have to finish a script and say, that's it, film it. No, you can. Let this be a lesson to you.
Oh, fuck you.
No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Wow.
But seriously, this felt like a rough draft that never got finished.
Let me see. Freeway 3. I'm going to
stop it.
Cross that out. Stop I should
it.
Not make that.
Stop it. I should not make that.
That was on the hopper.
No at one point, she attacks a guard in prison and threatens to cut off his pecker and calls him a pervert.
Right.
That's the first time we've ever seen him. Did we miss a scene? Did they cut something out? Why is he a pervert?
We got to assume there's some history there, Brian. Just let there be history. You don't have to show everything, all right? We can also assume that she probably peed earlier that day. I don't know if I need to see it. Like, well, doesn't she have to pee? I haven't seen her pee yet.
The writing feels very crude. Like, it's not crude, like nasty, crude, like unfinished.
Okay. We get it.
It's a poor man's Natural Born Killers, I think, is the best thing I can say about it.
I believe it was before the old MBK.
No, Natural Born Killers, like, 94, 95.
Yeah, 94, for sure.
96.
Oh, 96? All right.
Poor man's NBK.
I wouldn't say that it's MBK at all.
It's extremely MBK.
No, there's no couple. There's, it's a chick on her own doing her own thing.
She's kicking ass. She's in prison killing people. And, yeah, it's a good time.
Oh, you know what? What's that movie? Kill Bill. Just like Natural Born Killers.
Yeah.
So it's chick kicking ass.
That's right.
There you go.
There you go. Revenge fantasy.
Brian. Long kiss. Goodbye.
Finally.
Natural Born Killers.
Too,
every movie where a chick kicks ass.
Finally. To redeem the week. It was a bad week for movies, Anderson, for me. I saw a good movie. Nay. A great movie.
What?
A great movie.
Oh, did you see Lego?
I saw the Lego movie.
Yeah!
I saw the Lego movie.
Everything is awesome!
Everything is great when you're part of a team.
You know how
which
good this
is.
Movie is? You what? Know how good this movie is?
How good?
I went back and saw it again with the wife. I had a horrible, horrible nerd sitting behind me talking about it throughout.
Right.
Talking about arguing what the best scene is as the movie's unfolding.
Wow.
Two, like, 15-year-old lesbians sitting to my right. Lesbians, Brian. On their fucking phones. Yes, they had the common decency to turn them off. The ringers are off.
Feels nice.
No, but they had strobe lights to let them know whenever they got a text. They're fucking literally strobe lights going off on their camera, on their phones. The entire movie. It's still great.
It's still great.
They weren't. The nerds behind me, the entire row of nerds behind me who are laughing like this. They sounded like that.
Hmm.
And the fucking lesbians with the strobes next to me didn't manage to ruin the movie for me nor the wife. Love this movie.
This movie had everything going against it going into it. Number one, it's called the Lego Movie. Number two, it's called the Lego Movie.
All
number
right,
three,
Brian,
written and directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
There's
guys
wrong with
behind.
That.
I didn't like 21 Jump Street nearly as much as everyone else. I thought it was very average.
You got on late.
Very middling.
You got on late.
That said, the Lego Movie, goddamn fantastic.
Yeah.
One of the best movies, let alone animated films.
I don't know if I said this last week, but here's how good. Man, I don't want to oversell it.
No, it can't be oversold.
I'm watching it and I'm thinking, it's February 2014. The Vaulties. That we do a year, like more than a year from now. I don't see if this isn't on my top 10 list next year. It's got to be one of the greatest years of movies ever. If this gets bumped from my top 10 list for 2014.
Similarly, I'm thinking it's going to be near impossible to beat this movie for best animated feature at the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's sort of a Wreck-It Ralph, this is too hip for the room, too hip for the old people. Kind
I'm,
of thing.
I'm less interested in that. I'm more interested in my own top 10 list. And am I going to see 10 other movies this year that are better than Lego? I doubt it.
No, funny. Clever, inventive.
It's everything that, you know, a kid's movie could and should be. Why not take the time to write a fun script? Why not let your actors, let your cast actually do some improv and have some fun?
I'm glad you said that, Anderson, because I feel like so often movies, RoboCop is a great example. Projects come and go, and it's everything's on autopilot, and everything sucks, and people mail it in, and it's cash grab all
around. They gotta make stuff. They gotta pound stuff
out. Why not try? Why not spend the
extra here's an example.
2 weeks to make a great screenplay?
The new bird fucking movie coming out. The Rio 2 bird movie.
There's a bird fucking movie?
They don't fuck, but the birds. You know what? The Rio birds,
oh, okay.
The parrots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a frog in this fucking movie. That has this line, and I've seen it 3 or 4 times during when I'm trying to enjoy some Olympic hockey, and the commercial comes on, and the frog says this. She has big lips, too, so it's racist.
Oh, no.
She says this. Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, that died 10 years ago. And now you're trying to show it to a new generation of children? I mean, I have enough respect for not just movies, but TV, like what you put in front of people. And I really do think that it helps shape young minds. Let's not give them a fucking frog that says, oh, no, you didn't. That's everyone stopped doing that 10 years ago. South Park was mocking it 10 years ago.
It's true.
And now they have like a character talking that way and acting that way.
Legitimately.
In a new movie that they're going to show
unironically.
To young, unformed minds.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
I agree.
I think that having them smoke weed would be less dangerous.
50-50. Push.
Arguably.
So there's a lot we can say about the Lego movie. We probably could talk about it for half the show. The one thing I really want to talk to you about, you're going to find this shocking, is the ending. Not specifically,
oh
not specifically,
God.
But there was a moment
where there's sexual
the
innuendo.
No, there's
sexual.
A moment.
I'm going to go inside.
What?
Yeah, he's talking about banging her. I picked it up the second.
Oh, nice.
I saw it the second time, and I picked up on a number of things that I missed the first.
Okay,
time.
I'm going to see it again too.
Yeah,
but there's a moment in the third act where the movie takes a sharp left turn, or it takes a chance. I'll say it steps out and takes a chance that I didn't see coming, and my initial reaction was, oh. Let's see where this is going to go. I don't know about this.
Careful, Brian. You're treading.
Anderson.
Tread lightly.
You realize that you alarm the listener more than needs to be when you start to say, careful, careful, spoiler.
Like, well, you are.
I'm consciously avoiding
it
any specifics.
For what you're talking about, it works just fine.
Beautifully, but I was worried that it was one of those few moments where in a movie where I'm consciously saying, oh, where's this going?
I do that all the time with movies. Like when I really like a movie, I'm like, oh no, just end. Sometimes I'll pray for a movie to end because I don't want it. And oftentimes, like, it won't end. There'll be another 30 minutes, and then by the time it's over, it's like, I don't really like that movie now. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, I was with you. I was same boat with the Lego movie.
Careful.
When certain
Careful.
Stuff happened, I'm like, oh, no. Are they going to ruin it? Are they going to ruin everything? But luckily, it didn't.
It actually added
Skillful.
To it. It actually
Skillful.
Added to it and made it a beautiful ending. I got a little dusty in the theater. Not ashamed to admit.
I cried, but not at the ending. No, I cried because of just the greatness. Like, there was that thing, like, with beauty. Like, when you look at a beautiful painting or a sunrise, you know, feel the heat on your body and you get goose chills.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I love that movie. Not since Toy Story have I been so taken aback by, like, a new series. Because they're going to have, obviously, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they don't bastardize it. Hopefully, they take it the same direction like Pixar did with Toy Story, where everything is quality. But who knows?
Well, the Toy Story trilogy ended up being kind of an accident. That Toy Story 2 was supposed to be direct-to-video, and it ended up being
great.
That's
the whole story, because the corporation got taken over, luckily, by people who actually care, because they were just going to go a bunch of DVDs. Let's crank them out.
Well, that's what Disney was doing. That's what killed Disney, or hurt Disney Animation tremendously at the time. They're just cranking out sequels and went straight to video.
But, yeah, fantastic.
It was great. Go see Lego Movie.
The Lego Movie. Yeah, it's also featured... serendipitously in my little short that I don't want
to
talk at length about with you, Brian. Yes. There's a scene, believe it or not, that takes place in a movie theater where the main character has an issue with somebody in the theater. And I needed a facade. And I'm like, hey, sweet, that stupid fucking Lego movie's coming out. It needs to be a kid's movie. So perfect. Let's go shoot the facade of that movie theater. Guerrilla style with no permission at all.
Stolen shots.
So I got the shot of the facade, and then I threw the punch in, not a zoom, Brian, but a punch to the Lego movie on the marquee. And so now I'm looking to steal the Everything is Awesome or get rights to use it, because that would be perfect.
Everything is awesome.
Lonely Island, Brian.
Everything's great when you're part of a team.
Lonely Island. Okay, here we go. I saw 3 movies, and I'll try and be quick about this because nothing fantastic. There's a movie called The Whale, which was directed by Susan Chisholm. And Michael Parafit. That's not important. What's important is it's Ryan Reynolds and... What's her
Drew Barrymore?
No, what's his old girlfriend? Johansson. Scarlett Johansson. She produced it.
Their love child.
When they were together.
That's right.
And it's a documentary, Brian. Obviously it's a true story. It's a documentary about Luna, an orca whale who loses his pod, I should say. It's got a girl's name, Brian. Luna is a girl's name, but it's a male whale.
Okay.
And Luna loses his family. And he gets stuck up in the... And the Puget Sound up there in Vancouver, Vancouver Island.
That's very sad.
And he needs companionship and he needs friendship to the point that
he starts bugging people.
Like a
ship or something like that?
He befriends, not inanimate objects, Brian. People, humans. And people are coming from all far and wide to come see Luna, the friendly whale who just wants companionship. He literally goes up and people pet his nose. Of course, wildlife flocks get involved and it becomes this whole saga. Here's what I have to say about The Whale. It's streaming, so you can all watch it right now. One of the most disturbing movies I've ever seen, in the sense that it is so over the top, like lovey-dovey, warms the cockles, Ryan Reynolds narrating throughout.
Sounds great.
So I'm thinking of you, and I'm just crying like a lady the entire movie. Like, this is the movie that I was watching when the wife leaned over and said, hey, you got to button that up. I was watching The Whale. Like, sure. I was losing my shit throughout because it was so goddamn... touching and sad, and it's everything, like the way that it was written, the things that Ryan Reynolds were saying made me like it's the kind of thing that I would expect people to be saying as they're walking out of church, like, you know, going to breakfast, you know what I mean, like those types of people. Like, that's what it was
sanctimonious.
It was aimed at like older women sitting at home who are easily offended by everything. They're the kinds of people that would love this movie, and there I was loving it right with them. So anyways, if you're interested at all, you like animals.
I said it wasn't great.
Or that orcas. It's not, but it's good because it moved me.
It touches your love of marine biology.
It touched not even the biology part, but Luna.
Well, marine life.
It definitely takes you. A movie doesn't have to be great, but if it takes you on an emotional like ride, it's worth watching, I think. It affects you. It affected me. The Whale.
The Whale.
I already talked about
The Whale this year or last year?
2011.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, a couple years
ago. That's right. Yeah.
I don't know why you're pretending like you know about this movie.
No, because I know the Ryan Reynolds, the Whale movie.
That's good, Brian. Fantastic.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. All right, moving on. I saw a movie just earlier today.
So thought about the whale who... Never mind.
I am so devoted to you, Brian, and the listeners and the show that I have so much going on right now, but I still managed to see a third movie, even though the whale's kind of cheating.
What was the first movie?
Saw it weeks ago. Lego movie. I took the wife.
Oh, that's your first profession.
But I went out, and I didn't want to see it at all, but I knew I had to comment on it, okay. And that's The Monuments Men.
Interesting.
Went and saw The Monuments Men.
Heard it's a whole bunch of blah.
Monuments Men is a movie not made for me. It's a movie not really made for anyone except for the same types of people that probably love The Whale for all the wrong reasons. Let me pull up my notes here, Brad. I'll tell you exactly what happened with the old Monuments Men. The Monuments Men is kind of touching back on what you were talking about with RoboCop, like how it needed a star. The Monuments Men is the exact opposite. Like
too many stars?
I get the feeling that old George Clooney there, who, you know, he's known to have made a decent movie. He's a very talented guy. I'm not taking anything away from him. He's resting on his laurels for sure, and I think that it really shines through in this movie. He thinks, I'm just going to get a great cast, and I'll put them all together, and everything's going to be great. Let me see the last movie that he directed before.
Everything is awesome. Oh, no, it was Ides of March.
Which is good. Very, very good, right?
Yeah, I liked it.
This computer doesn't allow me to click on names, so I'll never tell you if that's true or not. You'll just have to trust Brian. But this movie stars...
Well, that's a good policy for you anyway.
Everybody, George Clooney, Matt Damon, Bill Murray, Kate Blanchett, John Goodman, and some other fucks, as well as that guy from...
Bob Balaban.
The Artist.
Bob Balaban.
Yeah.
Jean Dujardin. I think it was Jean Dujardin.
One thing that he's really good at is transitions from one scene to the next and like sharing like objects that are in one scene and then changing the lighting so all of a sudden you're somewhere else. He did that once and I was like, oh, cool. Is that like in the beginning of the movie? I'm like, even if the movie sucks, I love his transitions. Like he did some really, really cool things in Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. Like some really great transitional shots. That was the thing that I was most impressed with George Clooney's directing style. However, it only happened once. What I was watching felt like it could have easily been an 80s television movie of the week. About the heroics of World War II. Mm. And this is thanks in large part, Brian, to the heinous score. The score was something that I think Spielberg would just be like, you know, it might be a little too soft and gay. This might kind of touch the wrong parts of people. And this is like, is it 1982? No, it's not. So let's not use that score. It was bizarre.
Huh.
Plus, just one dissolve after another.
Was it like of the era? Was it like something from
I get the
40s?
Feeling that he was kind of like... Rodriguez and Tarantino like are obsessed with the grindhouse era in the 70s. I feel like he was doing an homage to something that I'm not familiar with and I don't want to be.
Okay.
It definitely feels like he was doing some kind of homage
That's
to something.
That's because when you're watching Tarantino movies, just when I'm watching them, I'm always like, huh, wonder where we got that from. I want to find out. You weren't motivated to find out?
Like an early 80s movie of the week.
Okay.
That's what it felt like. It really did. Sloppy and incoherent, and I hate talking shit about movies, but it was just like we're in one scene and this thing's happening. It was like a bunch of vignettes, Brian, not really connected. Like they have like a run in with a Nazi where he almost shoots him and then they let him go into the woods. Spoiler alert, they let him go in the woods after they all share a cigarette, and I guess it was supposed to be funny because Bill Murray was involved.
Right,
if Bill Murray's involved, it's hilarious.
Yeah, right? It was just naturally.
And then they just cut to like John Goodman having a problem the next day during the day, and they're all in the same group. It was really fucking weird. It was just like there's a lot of meetings and greetings. Like they're over in Europe. The whole storyline is based on a true story. The best part of the whole movie was the actual pictures of the art that they found. It was based on a true story. Towards the end of World War II, they sent like six or seven dudes who were like architects and art collectors over to Germany and occupied parts of Europe to find the art, the great art. Like thousands and thousands of pieces of art were stolen by the Himmler. By the Führer, by Hitler, and they're going to be put into this giant museum that was going to be Hitler's museum. It was going to be like the greatest museum of all mankind forever in the middle of Nazi Germany. Luckily, they lost, obviously, but all that art was still kind of going everywhere, and his orders were to burn and destroy it. Well, Americans found out about it, so they sent over like some like almost like spies, and it could have been really kind of clever and fun, like if they were doing all this covert stuff, but they were. They're just kind of wandering around going, hello, yes, do you have any idea where the art might be? Okay, all right, let's go over here. Oh, hello, sir, yes, good to meet you. Any idea where the art? Hey, we're looking for the art. Yes, oh, you can trust us. We're not going to sell it. No, that's what the Russians are going to do. No, we're looking to return it. It was sanctimonious, and what else? It was, and you know what I can't stand is soft war movies. I feel like they should be illegal too. Like, if you're going to make a movie about war and the heinousness of war, you shouldn't be allowed to, like, have it be almost cartoony violence. Like, people get shot, and they're like, oh, I'm bleeding.
I can't say this is the case, but I got that impression about War Horse. Maybe it's violent.
Oh, yeah, War Horse is totally.
I never saw it, but that's the impression I got. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, Barry's another example of soft war movie. It made me wish that I was watching Inglourious Basterds and realized that, you know, that's a great movie. I need to go back and I love Inglourious Basterds. And, you know, the art direction was great. It looked fantastic. Some of the old relics and stuff that they had, even just like the little packages of food. But you can miss this one. Can't remember the last time I cared less about what was going on or the characters or the art. And here's one of the problems. It wasn't about life or death. It was about getting this art, right? And the question was, is it worth men's lives? Because some of them may or may not have been killed in the line of trying to get this art back. Yeah, it's probably not worth men's lives, nor is it worth a movie, because art isn't really that. They keep going on and on about this one, like the Madonna.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the Madonna of Bruges?
Is it a Rembrandt?
No. Pretend like it's not. It's an actual sculpture.
Sculpture. Well, Rembrandt sculpted.
And they're trying to act like it was Raiders of the Last Ark thing?
Oh, the Ark of the Covenant.
The Ark of the Covenant. And they're trying to act like as though it was that, right? Like that was the, and I couldn't give a fuck. And you know, everyone knows they're gonna find it, and that's what they're doing. Is it here? No, it's not here. Was it there? No, I don't care. Didn't care at all. It was kind of sad.
Coming up next.
But what I was saying is, since it was just about art, what they really needed was a really fun, good cast of characters with a bunch of differently, you know, like little nuances and like
some quirks
and some good lines and stuff. Like, here's how bad the humor was, Brad. You know that gag where like somebody doesn't smoke, but they're kind of put in a situation where they have to smoke,
right?
And then they cough.
Yep.
You used to see it a lot in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, you see the hands shaking.
And then they try and take a hit, and then they cough. That happened in this movie.
Oh, nice.
There were some dental jokes.
It's a callback.
Dental gags that occurred.
Well, to be fair, if it's from that period, those would have been the first time those jokes ever were executed.
Cate Blanchett, who I normally like, and she was good in this, but she played one of the most annoying fucking French ladies. Everything that she talked about was about France and Paris. Mm. She was just like, well, you're in France, and this is the way we do it in Paris. And I'm not kidding you. Like, Paris, you do this. And then when you're in France, you do, well, that's the French way. I don't think she said more than two sentences concurrently without bringing up France.
Paris or France?
And I kept, in my head, I was thinking, let's just say she lives in L.A., and that's what she's doing. Imagine how annoying that would be. Like, she's just talking to some guy from Europe and going, well, that's the way we do it in Los Angeles.
She
calls
someone
off. This is America.
She flips a little finger. That's how you do it in L.A.
Well, of course, you have to have that American cheese because you're in America. That's the American way. You would want to fucking gag her out.
It'd be a little much. Anyway. Coming up next.
Don't go see Monument. You don't send away for it. Don't let your friends watch it if it's on TV.
That's
just uninspired.
Okay.
And blah. And
you can do better.
You get angry when you see all the resources and all the actors are there. And you feel bad when Bill Murray's actually crying and pouring his heart out.
Wasted talent.
Wasted. Come on, George. Better than that.
Coming up next. Top 5 films directed by women or top 5 female directors, depending on who you listen to. Somebody's building a computer, Anderson.
That sounds like terrorist shit.
Sounds like a lot of work, and it sounds like a lot of parts you got to buy. I know this because this week on Amazon, on our click-through report that we get, somebody got a whole shitload of computer parts. They got a tower, they got a hard drive, a motherboard, a processor, a graphics monitor, a power supply, and the internal cooling system, the fans. Someone's building themselves a computer.
I'm not kidding when I say, and this happens, I get confused when I'm building my own pizza online. You know, from like Domino's or something. I get really confused. I'm like, did I put all of that? I can't imagine doing that.
Yeah, then you're like, fuck it, get the meat lovers. I want to come as is. Time to go over the interesting and notable purchases on our Amazon.com click through on AndersonandBrian.com. Thanks in advance, everyone, for clicking through. Let's do this. Hey, someone's a teacher out there because somebody got 24 copies of Alligator Bayou. We don't normally do books, but someone buys 24 copies, they're handing them out to somebody, and I can only imagine it's their students. Thanks for doing that. The back-to-back World War champs, of course, the koozie, but it's blood in a t-shirt. Somebody got a t-shirt. It's back-to-back World Champs. America.
I need to get that shirt.
They do. Speaking of t-shirts, someone got the Dude Abides adult Big Lebowski movie t-shirt.
Smart.
Dude Abides.
Smart.
Someone got for their car, a lithium ion extreme rate battery. Someone's going to replace the battery in their electric car or hybrid model.
A lot of nickel on that.
What is this? Someone got banana ketchup. I didn't even know that was a thing. What is this? Oh, hummingbird feeder. Ginsu knives, an 8-piece. Is it Ginsu or Ginsu?
Ginsu. We said that last week, Brian.
Oh, fuck. 8-piece Ginsu knives. Popcorn maker.
We said that last week, Brian.
No, we did not. A radar detector.
Again? Last week that was on.
Stop it. And by the way, I appreciate this. Podcasters helping podcasts. Someone got the Doug Loves Movies Tournament of Champions. You got to pay like a buck or two for that.
I don't.
Download that. But click through our link. So it's like a little bit of...
That is nice.
They're spreading the love.
Scratching to both the backs. The stoner's back and Doug's back as well.
There you go.
I'm calling you a stoner. right there.
Someone got a Casio keyboard. What is this? Photoshop 12 for Mac. A Frigidaire window-mounted air conditioner. That's smart. It's pretty hot out there. Frigidaire air conditioner.
It's frozen fucking tundra in most of the country right now.
Hence the joke.
You don't like it when I say frozen tundra, do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Redundant.
It's too much.
Tundra is, in fact, frozen.
I understand.
I don't like the song. Someone got a dual-layer Macintosh.
You can hear the song?
It's bleeding through. Someone got Windows version 8.1, a Rawlings official Major League Baseball. Baseball season, man. Spring training starting. We always give short change to the shoes, but so many shoes bought this week.
Hey, watch this. Fuck Zappos. Amazon, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People bought shoes. Boy, did they buy shoes. Asics. There's a shoe called Chocolate Negro?
What?
That's
Ryan,
true. That's true.
Ryan, you can skip over that one.
That's 100% true.
You can skip over that one.
No. Lacoste.
It's probably
New Balance,
color of it, Brian. It's probably Negro.
No, that I clicked on it. That's what I thought. I clicked on it, and it's in fact a company called, maybe it's Chocolate Negro, but someone got a boots by the company Chocolate Negro.
Or Negro.
Or Negro. Saucony, Quicksilver, Puma, New Balance.
All right, we know what kind of shoes there are out there.
I'm just telling you the one that people bought.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
No Nike?
No Nike.
Hey, I love this person.
Like I said, baseball. Someone got a TaylorMade, a black driver. There you go, black again. Someone got a driver golf club.
It's a Negro driver, bro.
Oh, this, by the way, was the big ticket item of the week. A MotorVac Fluid Vac 1000 general purpose fluid exchange system.
Thank you.
It's the machine that fluid exchanges from one car to another, from one thing to another.
So,
basically,
of course,
pump.
Get STDs.
That's exactly what it's like. And, of course, someone got the Amazon Disney Infinity Infinite Bundle with Sorcerer's Apprentice Mickey figure.
Better not get STDs with that.
No, probably not. Anderson, movie time.
Okay, before the movie time, I want to tell a little, I should have told this at the top, though, actually, but a personal Amazon story, okay. Brian. The wife, she clicked through because she supports myself.
My wife.
She wishes she could just click through me. Okay. She says there should be a button where my face, she could just click on me. She didn't say any of that, but she bought herself a little necklace. It was like a $35, $40 necklace, whatever, and she was showing me because she was so excited. My wife's very, very cute. Very excited about this necklace she got, and she never buys herself anything, and I forget why she did it. She did something hard. Anyways, long story short, is she was showing me online. She's like, look at this is the necklace that I bought, and I'm like, oh, good. Fantastic. You're having it sent to our old fucking address, too, that we haven't lived there for 2 years, honey. So good luck on getting that necklace over. So long story short, I went back to where we used to live numerous times. I talked to the management. Like, they know me now, and I told them what the deal was. I called them on the day it was supposed to be delivered. The thing went – it got signed for, but it just disappeared.
No.
So what'd she do? She called Amazon, sent them an email, or she called them up, and then she called me. She was at work, called me back immediately, and she goes, yeah, sorry you went down to where we used to live, which is like 40 miles away from us twice, and dealt with all that, because all I did was to tell them, and they said, oh, they're sending me out a brand new one right now.
Wow.
Amazon, the best.
God bless Amazon.
How great is that?
A movie time.
What the fuck, right?
That's customer service.
What great customer service is that?
Appreciate it.
Here are the movies that were clicked through or bought through on the website since last time I saw you. Blue Jasmine, which is a fantastic performance. Not a fantastic movie. Dallas Buyers Club, In a World. Captain Phillips, City of God, Despicable. Why'd you just no Despicable Me too?
It's Oscar nominated.
Elysium,
Oscar nominated.
Not gonna say Harry Potter. Hellboy, director's cut. Life of Pi, yeah. Midnight Run, yeah. New York Stories, yeah. You had some hope there. You're hoping New York Stories gonna be great. Not so great. It was a movie, four shorts directed by different directors. Scorsese being one of them. Woody Allen being another.
Coppola's in there.
Coppola and another. Singing in the Rain was bought. Spectacular Now was bought. Smart. Stitch with Edward Furlong was bought. The King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters. Not The Room, Brian, nor Wolverine, no. But those are some movies that were clicked through since the last time.
What have I done?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. Back to the show. Hi, this is Samantha from Her, the operating system, of course. And you're listening to The Film Vault from AndersonandBrian.com. Thanks to Logan for securing all those celebrity liners. Yeah, Anderson, you know what I'm saying?
I liked it a lot more before when we couldn't hear that. Can you do that again, Logan, or is that a lot more work for you?
It's actually less work.
Oh, well, then let's start doing that, because I enjoy the show much more when I don't have to hear those ridiculous liners.
Well, you're going to not hear that, Anderson, but you're going to hear Burning Avalanche.
Hell yeah.
You hear that is? Our feature artist of the week. They're from Austin, Texas. Burning Avalanche, the EP, part 1/2. And Facebook.com/Burning Avalanche is where you go. Find out more info about them. Thanks, guys.
You know the operating system, of course.
Yeah, operating system. Well, apparently her had to think, Samantha had to feel like she had to clarify who she was. Because she didn't have a last name.
Is that what she said? Oh, no, that's...
That's what...
With the liner just now, yes.
Okay. She didn't have a last name. They're going to clarify. Mm-hmm. Who are you, Samantha? Someone else?
If you said from her, I think everyone was on the same page,
you're probably right.
Probably
right. But it's a newer movie, not everyone's seen it. Mm-hmm. I didn't say it. Samantha said it. Number five.
Sometimes I'm so embarrassed for you.
Logan is laughing very hard. Top five female directors for Anderson. Top five movies directed by women for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this had to happen sooner or later.
Listen, I got your text, and I thought, hey, yeah, good move. I like doing the top five ladies. That's gonna be good. It's gonna be educational. We're gonna learn some stuff.
I think each one of our lists will be in and of themselves good.
I closed my phone and moved on because, you know, I was in the middle of a bunch of stuff, and I didn't read it appropriate. I can hear a microphone hissing to my left.
I actually almost used the wrong topic because I had to double check it when I was making the tweet for the listener top five.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh wait, it's not female directors, it's movies by female directors.
Ah, see.
So I almost messed it up too.
I wish that you had, so then it would be two against one and Baldy would just be fucked.
But you'd both be wrong.
Why don't you just acquiesce to me, Bri? That's twice, 2 weeks in a row with the acquiesce. And,
okay. I'll just
instead of saying the movie,
you know,
just
what?
Say the director.
Maybe I will.
No, because I still want to redo it in like a month.
Okay.
Because
you do want to redo it in a month.
Probably.
Okay. I'll tell you this much. At least a couple of these women probably would not make my top five female directors because their body of work is not such that you could put them on that list. But there's individual movies, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll figure it out. Number five for you.
All right, number five for me, Bri. I'm going strong. I'm starting strong.
Let's hear it.
Her name is Julie Taymor, Bri.
Julie Taymor.
Born in Newton, Massachusetts.
We should point out, no documentaries.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I should have realized that, too, because you said no documentaries, and it didn't even occur to me.
You did respond to that,
good
too.
Point. No documentaries. Okay. Didn't even... I'm like, Brian's bothering me again.
I texted Anderson once, said, no documentaries, by the way. We can do a whole other episode on documentaries. Just save them. Because there are a lot of great documentaries directed by women.
Yeah, but I was thinking along the lines of documentary female directors. There's a lot more female documentarians than there are features.
It's true.
Narrative features, it seems. All right, so anyways.
Number five.
Julie Taymor. She comes from stage, primarily, Brian. Okay. She started with the stage. She did a whole lot of work on the stage. Actually, here's where I should have started. She grew up all over the world. She was born, like I said, in Massachusetts, but she grew up, spent a lot of time in Sri Lanka, and studied acting in Paris.
Paris, France.
Everything's French. And she got really into like folklore and mythology, and she was directing. She directed The Lion King on Broadway, and then she went on and she started making movies. What I really like
this
about
is
Julie
not stage
Taymor,
vault. This is not the stage vault.
What I really like about Julie Taymor is she is a control freak to the extreme, where she's like has to be in charge of like the costume designs as well. Like she co-designs all of the
clothes. Well, of course
she
does costumes as a woman.
There's a movie called Titus, which is a very interesting, very interesting movie.
What's up?
Beautiful. Looks fantastic. I can't say that it's a movie I look forward to revisiting anytime soon, but fuck it if it didn't look great. I saw this in the theater, and it was beautiful. Then she went on to make Frida, and then also Across the Universe, which I assume you probably liked.
Actually, no. I really did not like that movie very much.
It's weird.
I never saw Frida, though.
And then The Tempest, and she's a visionary. Her career is kind of muddled and on hold almost right now. I'm sure that she's still drinking and having issues after the whole Spider-Man debacle, because she was behind the Spider-Man Broadway play that never got off the ground.
So to speak.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
By the way, the new Spider-Man trailer.
Boo. Glad to see the kid from Chronicle getting a crack in the
He looks great.
Yeah.
He looks awesome. I hope he doesn't get typecast. But Jamie Foxx.
It looks awful.
With his hoodie is awful. And obviously there's like, okay, let's try and watch Dark Knight like about a couple dozen times and see if we can't, you know, use the same kind of feel and vibe and learn from that movie and use the same score.
Yeah.
Let's try and make that movie, but with Spider-Man.
I felt like I was the only one who saw Through the Emperor's New Clothes with the first, the reboot Amazing Spider-Man, which was not a very good movie, but people loved it for some reason.
I didn't see it.
You didn't miss much. Not a good movie.
So anyways, yes, Julie Taymor, a true visionary, control freak, and I would like to see her bring back movies. She's obsessed with like the Shakespearean type stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Tempest and Titus and such.
Yeah, it seems like you would enjoy the Tempest and Titus. I'm surprised you didn't like Across the Universe.
Why didn't
you like it?
You know why? Because number one,
it was Beatles. It was Beatles themed,
yes,
and it went through like all of their. I think it used something crazy, like 70 of their songs or something.
I hate. I love the Beatles so much. I have all their for all their CDs, all their albums, and I have several vinyl. I love the Beatles. Grew up on them. My second favorite band of all time. And I don't like when their songs are bastardized and covered and mashed up. I really, really, really hate that.
Okay.
And there was the movie was all that. It was a Glee version of Across the Universe of the Beatles. That's exactly what it was, and I hated it. I fucking hated it so much.
Uh-huh. I thought it was okay.
I would have gone home and listened to Abbey Road.
So Across the Universe is not going to be on your top five movies directed by.
Hold on. Number five, Across the Universe. Not a lot of.
Oh, I get it, because I decided it's probably not going to be there. You just talked about how much you hated it. That was on there.
My real number five.
That's pretty funny.
My real number five.
Okay.
This is a cult film from 1998.
Freeway? Oh, wait. It wasn't directed by him.
No, written and directed by Tamara Jenkins.
Uh-oh.
Slums of Beverly Hills.
Yeah, you like
I really enjoy the Slums of Beverly Hills. This was on my streaming episode from the winter, which is only a few months ago. But I haven't talked about it too much before then.
Enough. I think you've talked about it enough.
I think I flick-fest it once, and I think I put it on top five streaming.
I don't think I ever saw this.
What?
What's her name?
Natasha Lyonne?
Yeah,
Alan Arkin's in this?
Oh, you know what you're going to like? She's in Freeway 2. That's what I'm going to say.
No, she's
next.
Not. Oh, Freeway 2.
Yeah.
The sequel.
I believe she is.
That's my next movie?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
So much harder to watch than Freeway 1.
Oh, no. Alan Arkin, Marissa Tomei, Kevin Corrigan from Girl Buff 66.
What, from what?
Buffalo 66.
Okay.
Kevin Corrigan, the guy.
Mouse, the mouse was dying right there.
Buff 66, Buff 66.
Yeah, I know who Kevin Corrigan is. He's goon.
You've really never seen this, or have you just seen it and forgot about it?
I don't know.
Really
is there any
movie.
Barfing in it? Does she barf? Oh, wait, that's Freeway 2.
Jesus Christ. No, there's no barfing in this, although there's a sort of a coming-of-age tale. It's a cult. It's a dark comedy. I would call it a dark comedy. It's some very sad laughs. Is that her?
Brian, Freeway 2. There, get ready.
I'm getting ready. Confessions
yeah.
of a trick baby.
A teenage prostitute escapes from a juvenile prison with a 16-year-old serial killer, and both go on
Anderson.
A destructive road trip to Mexico. And this twist on that Hansel and Gretel fairy tale, Brad.
You realize that Matthew Bright wrote and directed this. He's kind of like, you know who he is? He's, fucking, what's his name? Overnight, the Boondock Saints guy. He's that guy.
Duff.
He's
Troy Duff.
Troy Duffy. He's Troy Duffy before Troy Duffy. He's got the one thing, and he's just he's
no,
humping it to death.
What are you talking about?
Mild success of the first one, humping
very
it to death.
Very different. He made one movie, Troy Duffy made one movie. This guy
made Boondock Saints 2?
He did Tiptoes.
Oh, yeah, sir.
Brian, come on.
Tiptoes is, oh yeah, you talked about it last week.
Tiptoes is what killed his career. Tiptoes, Matthew Bright. Where are you, buddy? I saw Freeway 2 sitting next to Matthew Bright at the Toronto Film Festival. I must
really?
Have mentioned that, and it was very uncomfortable. Because he got up there, and he was like talking to the microphone, like he was like letting us know, that it was his movie. That's what they do at film festivals.
Did
we
talk about this, Logan, last week? I don't remember
Did
this.
I talk about this?
I don't think you did.
So I'm at the Toronto Film Festival, like, in 99, and that's where the movie premiered, and I got I was lucky enough to get tickets because I had to go up there to cover a bunch of shit for Westwood One. And I was just by happenstance, I was sitting in his row, and he's sat literally two seats over with no one sitting between us. So he got up there. He was all nervous. He's like, this might be my last film they let me make because, I kind of do my own thing. And anyways, please enjoy it. And it was he's like, the first time I've ever watched it with an audience, and it was not incredibly entertaining or well received, and he was like swallowing the entire time next to me, like all fidgety and really nervous.
Was he pulling on his collar and like looking around?
I mean, he wasn't like cartoony about it. But yeah, the poor guy, he looked over his shoulder a number of times.
Yeah,
I felt bad for him. I wanted to cuddle him.
I want Natasha Lyonne to make a comeback.
Well, you're
going to
see Freeway 2.
She'll come back to my house, apparently, in the form of a Freeway 2.
I think I might have won this week.
Oh no, Freeway no. Okay, number four for you.
You should have called it Highway. That would have been smarter.
Slums of the Hills.
Number, this is painful. I can't do that. Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Do it, buddy.
Brian, there's a woman whose father is very famous. Father's name is David Lynch. I don't hold that against her.
Okay.
Usually I don't like rich idiots with famous fathers.
Talk about Kelly Lynch?
Talking about Jennifer Chambers Lynch, Brian.
Okay.
I don't know who Kelly Lynch is.
It's an actress.
She directed a little movie called Boxing Helena, which I should make you watch one day.
Oh, you should. I've never seen that.
Yeah, it's a movie that got a lot of mixed reviews. I really liked the storyline, but the way that it was actually... She was only 25 when she made Boxing Helena. Sherilyn Finn, it's definitely a cult movie, and it involves lots of amputation.
I'm almost positive this is the movie that got Kim Basinger in all that trouble, because she dropped out of it, and it was a landmark legal case, because she had attached herself to the movie, and they got the funding, and she dropped out, and they sued her because... Hey, we got the funding based on you being in the movie, and now you dropped out. And they won. Like, that was like a landmark case.
There was a lot around Boxing Helena at the time, and she even references that a little bit. Jennifer Chamber Lynch does, but I'm not exactly sure if that's why. You could be right. Could very well
be. It may
be
not
right.
be this movie, but that happened around that time with Kim Basinger.
So, 1993, she's 25 years old. She makes Boxing Helena, which was a very interesting and ambitious film, to say the least. And the storyline was very unique, which I appreciate in any movie, even if it's a bad movie. If the storyline is unique, this one is. Oh, it's creeps. Boxing Helena. Then, Brian, she takes, get this, Brian, 15 years off. 15 years. She's got to get her shit together.
By choice.
She was very depressed about Boxing Helena, how it was poorly received. I believe she got knocked up. The ladies do that.
That's what happens.
You guys have the most important, and I'm not just saying this, the most important job in the world is to raise those little ones. Make them right. Make them good. Otherwise, we're going to be fucked.
Otherwise, the whole society crumbles.
Yeah, obviously, they haven't been listening to that recently because there's a lot of little fucked kids out there. A lot of little bastards.
Bun it up, ladies. Mm-hmm.
You know what's there's a lot of girls like when they get pregnant. My sister was one of them.
You know what I just had an image of?
And I'm like, oh no! What? I hope it's a girl. So at least we get a stripper and not a fucking convict.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a stripper than a thief.
Yeah, a mugger.
Yeah,
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I just got an image of? Miss Movie listening to this episode.
Hi, Miss Moves.
Enraged.
What?
I'm gonna talk about very flippantly about pregnancy and.
I'm being serious.
You're joking, obviously.
No, I'm being 100% serious. It's exceptionally important.
Well, why are you winking at me?
Brian, something in my eye. No, honestly, 15 years she takes off, and I think a lot of it has to do, because she had a child, and she was raising the child, but then she made a little movie called Surveillance, which I found to be incredibly hilarious and disturbing. Bill Pullman. Have you seen this Surveillance?
No, what is Surveillance? What year was that?
2008. 15 years after 1993. 2008, Surveillance. See, Logs, will you look that up and see if Surveillance is streaming? Because I would like people to see Surveillance. Don't watch the extras on DVD like I did. It makes you like everyone less.
Isn't that sad? You find out more about the movie, you like it less?
Yeah.
It's called the Donnie Darko syndrome.
I call it the that thing you do syndrome.
Oh, so true.
You saw the long, long version.
So true.
So, yeah, Surveillance is Bill Pullman, Paul James, Julia Ormond. It's a great little movie.
What's the second name you said?
Pell James is in it.
I've never heard that name in my
life.
Brian,
listen to this. She moves on. She makes a little movie called Hess, which was streaming last I checked. Not streaming. So she makes a movie called Hess, which is about a woman turning into a snake and then turning back into a woman. Very, very interesting in
like
the sense
Cobra
that
Commander.
This, in the sense of this. Almost unwatchable. Actually, it is unwatchable. Couldn't watch the whole thing. It was streaming last time I saw. I watched the first maybe 40 minutes, and I'm like, I can't do it. I love you, Jennifer Chamber Lynch, but I can't make it complete because I can't watch this movie. Now, there's a documentary that I can't get my hands on yet, but it came out like a year ago or so, and it's not on streaming, and it's not on YouTube or anything, but it's called Despite the Gods, and it's a documentary all about her trying to make this hiss. There's like three S's on it. What's really interesting is she went over to India, and she tried to make it within the Bollywood system.
Wow.
But had huge problems, evidently. Never got to make the movie that she wanted to make. Was almost fired numerous times. Huge fights with her producers. And there's a documentary documenting all of this process, which I would love to see. So if anyone has any ideas on where you can see that Despite the Gods, sounds like a fascinating documentary.
It does. Sounds more interesting than the movie.
Oh, the movie's unwatchable. It's just awful. It's just a fucking awful. Hiss
and yet
is one of the worst.
She's number four on your female director's
list. You know why? She comes back, Brian. Hmm. She comes back with a little movie that was on my most anticipated movies of 2012, and it delivered. Chained. Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, yes.
And Chained. Oh, Chained. I will call you Ribbit. Oh, it's such a good movie. So dark, so creepy. About it's about a serial killer, and yes, he does kill women. Sorry, ladies. But he also, by mistake, gets a woman who has a son, and he's not aware that the son is there. So what is he going to do with the son? He's not going to kill him. He's going to chain him to the house, give him a big, long chain, hence the name, and he's just now his there's no sex, Brian, but he's like his pet and his cleaner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when he decides to do it, it's so fucking great. He's just like, I should call you Ribbit. And he's just, Vincent D'Onofrio's back, and he's doing this fucking fantastic, creepy, evil thing. And then also, he's in a movie coming up, also directed by Jennifer Chambers Lynch, called A Fall from Grace, which I'm excited about.
I'm in.
Yeah, so A Fall from Grace was Vincent D'Onofrio, who's back in the big screen, getting directed by Jennifer Chamber Lynch, who's closest thing to David Lynch right now, because David Lynch is not making shit.
Number four for me. It was directed by a woman named, my computer cut it off, Lisa Cholodenko.
Oh, yeah.
You know who that is?
Yeah. No clue.
Lisa Cholodenko is on my list for directing The Kids Are All Right. The Kids Are All Right.
Oh, it's a great one. Good call, Brian. Laser.
Yeah, laser.
I like that Kids Are All Right.
Annette Bening, Juliette Moore, Mark Ruffalo, nominated for Best Picture, Best Original Screenplay, Best Supporting Actor, and it won Best Actress. The mystery, Anderson, that no one can answer me. Uh-huh. I brought up the time, and we haven't talked about movies probably since the Oscars in the year it came out.
We haven't talked about movies since then?
This movie. Mouse is Dying. Why?
that's for those not in the know. That means that Brian's having a hard time with dry mouth because of chemo, which is not funny.
It's not funny. We make a joke out of
it. We make a joke out of it. I'm sorry.
Why was Annette Bening up for Best Actress and Julianne Moore wasn't? Julianne Moore was by far the more lead actress. She's the one who had the character arc. Her character underwent the most change. She had the journey. She had more screen time. She had more interesting things happen to her.
Because she's black, Brian.
I think it was a weird ageist thing. I think it was that Annette Bening was like Hollywood royalty, and because
a lot of it is right time. You're exactly right, and especially if they feel like they owe a makeup call because of something she did the year before, and she didn't win. You know that kind of shit happens all the time.
I really detest Oscar campaigns.
It should be illegal
for lots of reasons.
You shouldn't be allowed to stump for your movie.
I hate it so much, but yeah. I feel like Julianne Moore was the victim of her own movie's Oscar campaign. They put Annette Bening forth and not her. Maybe more one than the other, but. Both good performances, don't get me wrong. Julianne Moore is great. Annette Bening, good, just kind of there. Good movie. I enjoyed The Kids Are All Right very much.
Yeah, the Oscars are a joke. They really are. We love them. We build a lot of stuff around them.
We want them to be great.
Yeah, and they should be important. But like this year, I don't know if you've heard about the big fiasco going on, and it's not really a fiasco, but the controversy. I don't know. Did I bring it up on the show a few weeks ago? The music top, like the ones that are up
I knew
for
about
music.
This. We didn't talk about it, though.
So apparently there's a movie that I had never even heard of that came out this year, Brian. And that says a lot because like, I read about everything that's coming out and everything that's there.
I scour.
I never heard of this little – it's a little Christian film. I can't even remember the name of it. But it's up for Best Original Score. Is that it?
I think it's Original Score. Original song.
It's Original Song. It's Original Song. And it turns out that the writer of the Original Song used to be on the Oscar board of the group that
the
actually nominates
–
the nominating committee that nominates Best Original Song for a movie. And all of his peers and his people that he used to work with, his friends – just happened to nominate him, so now he's considered one of the five best songwriters, has one of the five best songs in movies this year.
Because the nominees come from their individual
groups. Subgroups.
The directors nominate the directors, and on and on and on.
And this one, and then they're all playing dumb, like, no, it's just a great song, and we saw that movie, and everyone saw that. Nope.
Yeah, this is a movie that was legitimately obscure.
$100,000 at the box office.
Yeah, and then came out in something like five theaters.
And there's like $10 a ticket. What does that mean that it sold like $1,000?
$10 ticket?
Yeah.
It sold 10,000 tickets.
$100,000? Yeah, 10,000.
10,000 tickets. Give or take, of course.
Carry the one, okay. All right. Yeah, anyways, do the math.
But yeah, the point is shenanigans. Shenanigans going on in the Oscars.
A lot of shenanigans.
Number three for you, buddy.
Oh, I'm already on number three.
All right.
I feel like this episode is much like Monuments Man, all over the place.
Oh, well, there's only one person to blame for that.
What's that? Oh, is that me?
It's you.
Cop, my third favorite director. That's a lady.
That has
and you know
vagina.
What? I'm sure that it is. A lot of these women, when I'm reading the interviews about them and doing the research for this year program, or just from stuff that I know about them because I like them or I like their movies, a lot of them don't even like to talk about how they're lady directors. And I don't blame them. And like somebody, I think it might have been my number three, who's Lynn Ramsey. She says, well, you would ever ask a man, like, how's it feel to be a male director? You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is a silly question.
Silly question. So it's like we're just people. We all have experiences.
Although,
we all have life experiences.
If they phrase that differently, it's a good question. How is it being a female in a male-dominated industry? That's a different question, but that a female director is a stupid thing to ask.
But how are you differentiating the film business from pretty much every business?
No, because you're asking what their experiences are like.
I know,
like.
But male-dominated.
Oh,
Isn't it a kind of a male-dominated world? And it's not my choice, but that's kind
of
what it is.
Of course. Well, I assume there's more female
Miss
teachers.
Miss Movies,
there's
that's more, what it is.
There's more female teachers.
Because of people like Brian. I wanted you to be in here every week, and Brian said, nope.
Oh, please. How dare you?
She's abroad. Can't look at those boobs every week.
You
it's distracting.
You keep taking my phone and deleting her phone number out of it. Very upsetting,
that's what Brian said. Anyways, Lynn Ramsey is my number three, Brian.
Oh, what is she directing?
She has made a movie called The Rat Catcher, which critics loved. I saw it. Thought it was good. I should say Lynn Ramsey is from Glasgow. Scotland, Brian? Scotland. Yep. She also made a movie called Malvern Caller, which is streaming last I checked. This is a movie that is nearly unwatchable.
Okay.
Nearly unwatchable. She admits that she was doing a little experimenting and might have experimented a little too far.
Didn't
She's
work.
Still finding her voice.
Right.
I think her voice might have been found, Brian.
Yeah.
She made a little movie called We need to talk about Kevin
That's
Bryan.
That's my number three also.
We need to talk about Kevin!
Now, do you see the fundamental problem with your list is that you have a woman here who's done two awful movies?
Because I will see anything. Not awful. The Ratcatcher is good. It's just, critics love it. I didn't quite get the love affair. Lynn Ramsey, I will see anything that she makes. I want to see her goddamn short, Swimmer. I want to see it. But it's great.
It hasn't come out yet.
Well, it's a short.
Okay.
It's tough to see those.
So you realize now why this should be movies directed by a woman. That's okay. I'm not going
to
be hammered.
No, Lynn Ramsey, she's working today.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to continue to make great films, I think.
Well, this is my number three also.
We need to talk about Kevin. Is any indication of what she's capable of? That's one of the best directed movies I've ever seen.
Heavy movie. Not for everyone.
So well directed, Brian.
So well
and
directed.
It's definitely a black comedy, which you don't agree to.
There's
hilarious.
Absolutely funny parts in this
movie.
No,
we had this argument on this program. I said there's some really funny parts. You're like, I don't think so. There was nothing funny about this movie. You didn't quite sound like that.
Well, okay.
You were indignant.
I think I said there's not a single laugh in this movie.
Oh, there's a few out loud laughs.
Okay, but there's some hollow laughs in this movie, like when the kid craps his pants.
Here's a direct quote from
he poops his pants,
Lynn Ramsey.
Intentionally.
That wasn't funny.
It was intentional.
It was the virus that I thought was funny. All right, here we go. I get questions. Here's what Lynn Ramsey, straight out of her mouth, verbatim, Brian. I get questions about what it's like to be a woman filmmaker. And you don't get that question a lot if you're a man. I don't really go there because I can't really define what I bring to films as a woman. She can't because she's just a filmmaker.
She is what she is.
Yeah.
But again, the question of what's it like to be a woman in a male-dominated industry like filmmaking
you could just
is
say
a legitimate
world.
Question.
You could just say world.
Oh, you could.
Male-dominant world.
Yes. Tilda Swinton, John C. Reilly, Ezra Miller, 2011. Good movie.
All right.
Based on a novel. 2003 novel by Lionel Shriver.
Yeah, and you know what? She brings so much of her own thing to the table. The fact, she says that she's been offered plenty of movies that are packaged and ready to go, and mm-hmm. she can direct them. Same with Jennifer Chamber Lynch. Both of these ladies, they want to do their own thing. They're not interested in directing just for the sake of directing. They got their own visions that they want to bring to life, Brian.
What does Lynn Ramsey have coming up next? This is a couple years ago. Is she doing anything? She on
as
anything?
Far as I can tell, Moby Dick is her dream project, and that's what she's looking to do.
Moby Dick is her white whale? Jeez. Mm-hmm. Right on the nose.
You did that, Brian.
You said it, her dream project.
Why would you do that?
Coming up next. Top five.
I know it seems like I was joking, but no. Moby Dick is what she's trying to get off the ground right now.
I believe
now.
You.
And with her use of music and visualization, oh, god damn, because that book is incredibly boring. I know that's sacrilegious to some of you, but that book is tough. It reads like the Bible,
Brian.
No, it is.
Brian. It's not accessible to today's,
what she might do,
audience.
Though. What she might do, I'll be first in line. I'll be nudging those lesbian feminists out of the way. I want front of the line.
Coming up next. Top 5 movies directed by women. The top 2, 4 female directors. Whatever you choose to subscribe to. Normally you would hear a spot for an advertiser or perhaps asking for listener art or asking for, I don't know.
We'd be bugging you. It's like, do this or
do that.
This,
click this.
Help the show
click,
be
click,
free.
Click.
Help it. Well, it's continue to do all that. But
we will do that.
Here's the point. There's no ad.
Yeah.
Zero ad.
Back to the show, everybody. She only loves it when she's stoned. She only loves it when she's stoned. Yep. Welcome back. Thanks, everyone. Thanks to Burning Avalanche. It's a bit of an oxymoron, isn't it? Because an avalanche is snow. But yet, how could it be burning? Burning Avalanche from Austin, Texas. Check them out, facebook.com/burningavalanche.
There's a drink, liqueur.
Called the Burning Avalanche?
Called Avalanche, I believe. It had crystals in it.
No, that was Aftershock.
Aftershock.
Or was that Goldschlager?
I think there is an After Avalanche drink. Maybe
there was Aftershock for sure.
Aftershock is the one.
Had the shit.
Dumb fuck Anderson, when he was like a teenager, thought it would be a good idea to, after we'd finished the bottle, oh, no, God, you don't understand. Take the crystals, chop them up, snort them. So I broke the bottle and we snorted crystals. And it did nothing but burn our nose. Because there's crystals in the bottle.
Yeah, but it was just glass.
No, it wasn't glass.
What was it?
It was like crystallization, like sugar.
Wow.
It burned the nose.
I bet it did.
Yeah.
Did you get high?
Nope. Oh. We were too drunk to tell what was happening. Brian, are you going to be all clever at the end of this? Do you have a top number one? That's, look at his smile. Brian, why would you do that? Ryan's like playing peekaboo over his goddamn notes right now because like I'm on to him. I actually wrote that on my notes, which I did not print out, but it says no to her, him.
Save. Okay. Two things. First, I promise our number one will not be crossover.
Okay.
Number two, I wanted to get clever and do like Lana Wachowski.
Right, that's what I thought you were doing.
No, I'm not going to do Lana Wachowski. Okay. That was definitely a thought.
Yeah,
that
was my first instinct.
I
actually sit there and I try and think of my list first, and then if I have time, I'll start thinking of like, okay, what's Brian going to do here? And I try and get ready to cut you off at the pass.
No Lana Wachowski.
Okay.
However, our number ones will not have crossover.
All right.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. It's your turn. I believe you're up
there. No, number two for you.
I'm really last. Oh, so we're switching off because I feel like I just
finished. Because our number threes are the same. We jumped on the same one.
Ah, that's right. We need to talk about that, Kevin. All right, Brian. I'm going to talk about... she's falling on some tough times.
Ooh.
And I don't know if Penny Marshall's ever going to do it again.
Okay.
But, you know, I still will give her credit and I will still show up just because of my love of not only Big, but Awakenings, A League of Their Own.
Those three movies.
She had a great run there, Brian.
Well, those three in a row?
Yes.
See, I had an idea to do top five directing hot streaks, and that would absolutely make the list.
Jumpin' Jack Flash is where she got her start. Somebody got fired, and they popped her right in there because she was already part of like the Hollywood syndicate.
Sure, sure. People knew her.
She was married to that pig for a while. You know that?
Gary Marshall?
Nope. That's her brother, Brian. That's her brother.
Rob Reiner?
Yeah. Married to that pig fuck. How do you do that?
I don't know.
Even if you're Penny Marshall, how do you let that sweaty piece of ham on top of you?
Well, she's
that
no prize.
Slobbering ham.
All right.
He's just a big ham. I fucking hate him so much.
Slobbering ham.
So she does Big in 1988, which woke everyone up to what Tom Hanks can actually do. And then she moved on to Awakenings, which is the movie that...
You know, it was on TV 2 days ago when I was watching it.
Awakenings.
Yeah.
You know, do you remember what happened to me in this movie?
What happened?
I'm such a pap. I'm such a little pussy.
You cried.
Not only that, Brent, I was what year is this? 1990, right? So I'm like badass at this point. I'm like in my formative years.
Yeah, long hair Anderson.
I'm like doing my fair amount of like, you know, bad things and whatnot. Yeah.
You was about to quit the football team?
I just quit. I think that we're on there. Anyways, I find myself running out of the theater, holding my mouth, going, I was crying so hard at Awakenings. The saddest movie I still have ever seen in the theaters.
There are some sad parts to it.
I had to, like, I was, like, hopping over people because there's people in my row. I remember, like, the same way that I would react if I was about to puke.
It is so funny I watched the movie, and it's so weird to watch Robin Williams, the one who's restrained. And
he's so good.
Robert De Niro, the overacting.
Gesticulating.
Hamming it up. Yeah. Doing the whole over-the-top thing.
So, yeah, since then she's done Riding Cars with Boys, which my high school girlfriend, who I was in high school at the time as well, Brian, she enjoyed that one quite a bit. And
I don't think I ever saw that.
And she did According to Jim. She did two episodes of According to Jim.
No, but this is not TV Vault.
And then she went on to do Women Without Men, which I think is a statement movie, a TV movie, Brian.
Okay. Too.
And then she also did two episodes of United States of Tara.
So wait, she hasn't directed a movie since Riding in Cars with Boys?
Riding in Cars.
Wow.
I think that she kind of...
dropped off.
And now there was plenty of personal statements and things that she said that leads me to believe that she's not really fond of men or the working Hollywood system. And I think she does. She's done a lot considering she was Laverne. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Done a lot. She's definitely led a charmed life. She was the first female director to direct a movie that grossed over $100 million. Not once, but twice, Brian. With both Big
and League of Their Own.
And League of Their Own, yeah.
League of Their Own really is a good movie.
It's such a great movie. All three of those movies are like top 100 movies of all time for me.
Really?
I'm going to say Big,
A
League of Their Own, and Awakenings would crack my top 100 of all time list. All right. Probably. Possibly. They're up there. They're definitely very, very memorable and great, fantastic, timeless movies.
I agree with
you
both.
You can turn things on all the turn those any of those movies on. And it's gonna grip you. All those three of those movies, great.
The kidnapping subplot in Big was a little weird because it should have been either jettisoned or explored more. You know what I mean?
No.
Little thing where like he was kidnapped, he got writing letters to his mom or whatever, and he's like, "Hey, the kidnappers let me write a letter to you."
Yeah, they were just trying to show that he cared about his mom.
No, I didn't like that.
He was worried about his mom.
I'm nitpicking.
That's what it was for.
Yeah, nitpicking. It's great.
Hey, ever since your misread of Brandt, I worry about the way that you perceive things. That was just to show that he wasn't a dick, and like, because there are going to be people in the audience going, well, "Isn't his mother worrying about him? Shouldn't he be concerned about his mother?" Which he wouldn't have been because he was a kid. You know,
true. I wouldn't be surprised if this is your number one. Your
will
director.
Will you push Mark right there?
What happened?
Push Mark.
What happened?
I don't like gross sounds in the microphone.
Okay. Was it I sniff?
It was, no, it was me.
Oh. This could be your number one. In fact, it would not surprise me one bit. Although it's kind of an obvious choice, and maybe not. Speaking of obvious choices, I was going to put Zero Dark Thirty as my number two.
Who directed that? Didn't that dude direct that?
No, it was a woman named Kathy Bigelow.
How could this not be my number one? She's phenomenal!
She is phenomenal.
She's phenomenal.
But because we just
She's so phenomenal, I want to check her crotch. There might be a dick there.
Oh my God.
Was that the most sexist thing I could
possibly
say?
It really was. That was awful. Good job. If we didn't just talk about Zero Dark Thirty last week, I would put him in number two slot. But I'm going to go with The Hurt Locker. A movie that is, if a
Brian,
best picture is underrated, it's what? The Hurt Locker.
What are you talking about?
Talk, is this your number one?
Yeah, Catherine Bigelow is my number one. There's no doubt that she is the best working director today.
Female or overall?
Female.
Okay, you said best working director.
I meant within this group. Right. Brian, let's not get crazy.
She is kind of far
She'll
away.
Probably cracked like the top 200 working today.
How dare you?
No, I'm kidding. No, she literally, I would say she's in top 10. There's no way I could do a top 10 directors working today and I cannot have Catherine Bigelow on there. Mm. No way.
I agree. It's a good call.
Go ahead, Brian. Let's go over what she's done. First of all, Near Dark, which you need to see, Brian. A little dated, but it's like the much darker, better version of Lost Boys.
Okay.
Near Dark. Great vampire movie from what was it, 89? 89, yeah. And then she goes on to Point Break, Brian. Point Break. No one gives her credit for Point Break. But Point Break and Strange Days, which, mixed. I remember getting really excited about Strange Days. I remember the big news was they're actually going to have a rave in this movie. There's going to be a rave in Strange Days. It's supposed to be like the turn of the century in the future.
It was like a big deal.
And then, of course, she took a little time.
Didn't she direct Blue Steel?
Yeah.
You didn't even mention that? Okay.
You a big fan of Blue Steel there?
No, I just thought it was notable because Jamie Lee Curtis was in it. It was a whatever movie. I thought it was a hit, but... I don't care.
And then she did some other things like K-19, The Widowmaker.
Oh, that's right, The Widowmaker.
And,
did you ever see that?
No, did not see. Did not see. The Weight of Water, did not see. But The Hurt Locker, saw.
Did
and Zero, Zero Dark 30 is enough to make me follow her into any theater.
If a third of a movie can be a trademark for any director or calling card, the last final act in Zero Dark 30 is some of the best filmmaking ever
seen. Yeah. Absolutely.
Really spectacular.
It made Ridley Scott shudder when he was thinking about what he could have done with the Black Hawk Down. But instead he made a movie for you.
It's a great movie. It's the number one war movie of all time.
Movie for you.
Number one of all time.
Go ahead.
Number one for me. Are we done with Catherine Bigelow?
She was born privileged a little bit, and that always kind of bugs me. She's actually known as also a painter. She's a fantastic painter,
she's
Brian.
She's from my hometown of San Carlos, California.
She went to school up in San Francisco for a long time, and in 2010, Brian, she became the first woman in Oscar history to win the Best Director Award.
That is true.
Yes. She's
also,
one of four, Brian, to ever be nominated. Here are the other four, Brian. Lena Watermuller. Jane Campion, Brian, and Sofia Coppola.
There you go.
Sofia. Sofia. Did you see Bling Ring?
Bling Ring?
Bling Ring, yeah.
No.
Sofia's last
movie. No, is it not? Any good?
Oh, you're ahead of me on that one.
Oh, you did see it. It was no good?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
No, did not see.
So you're winning that round. You win that one.
Did not see. The Hurt Locker, by the way, this is the second film in a row that we talked about that made... Made a man a star, Jeremy Renner in this case, and Tom Hanks before. Of course, they were around and they were sort of famous, but Tom Hanks became Tom Hanks after Big, and Jeremy Renner very much became Jeremy Renner. He's a movies. He's a lead actor now in the fucking Bourne movies. He's a movie star.
Fucking
Bourne movies. He's in that fucking Bourne movie. Number one for me. Okay, there's a very obvious choice for number one, but I talk about Mary Harron's American Psycho way too much. It's one of my favorite movies.
You know what? That's not even her best movie. You're a hipster Anderson over here, but what? I'm going to say I shot Andy Warhol. Oh, God. No.
Why didn't you put it on your list?
She almost made it. But I'm not doing also rants, Brian. I shot Andy Warhol is probably a superior film.
You think so?
Not as easy to watch.
Sorry. Really?
You seen I Shot Andy Warhol?
No.
Lily Taylor.
Okay.
Tough. Wow. Really tough.
I don't like movies by favorite.
I'm going to go home and beat up. I'm going to go home and beat my meat. It's tough watching Lily say
that. Get that drop.
She says that throughout the film.
Mary Harron, number one for me for American Psycho. However, I talk about it too much, so I'm going to go with a bit of a different choice. Anderson, I know for a fact you have not seen Francine McDougal's 2001 masterpiece, Sugar and Spice, but you will be seeing it someday.
Mm.
You will be seeing it, and I tell you this much, and I can almost guarantee.
I think you did make me see this.
No, I didn't.
You know what I realized the other day?
You'll be enjoying it.
Pretty much every movie you make me see, I can't remember if I saw it or not 6 months later. I can't remember.
What if I told you? What if I told you?
That you like this movie? I'd be like, yeah, I know, because you said it plenty.
Sugar and Spice is written by a woman named Lona Williams.
Just for the record, Sugar and Spice, Your Honor. Not Sugar and Splice. It's a different movie.
Mouse is dying. She wrote it on the student named Mandy Nelson. Lona Williams, what if I told you that she was a Simpsons writer? And not just a Simpsons writer, back in the glory days, 1990 and 1993.
Back when she was with Conan.
And she wrote... Conan plays prominently in this movie. He's in a subplot in this film.
They're both writers on The Simpsons concurrently, Brian.
That's right. What if I told you that? Would it make you want to see the movie anymore?
Nah.
Well, you're going to see it.
No interest.
You're going to love it.
Is this movie's
hold on, very excited for me to assign this to you.
Is it a cartoon?
How dare you.
Well, I mean, she was a cartoon writer, so. Wow. What's with the Miss Movies love this week?
I don't know. She came up
remember
twice.
That one time when she came in here and asked if you've ever fantasized about her and you got all red?
No, you didn't ask if I fantasized about her. You suggested we banged in college.
Or that you wanted to.
I didn't know her in college.
You became very red.
Red as your shirt.
Yeah, you became very. I'm wearing a Russian hockey jersey right now since they got crushed. I thought I'd do them a little solid and show some support.
I did not know Miss Movies in college.
Okay. He's turning red again, folks.
Right after which, she was still in college when Sugar and Spice came out.
Oh, she's younger than you.
I believe she's at least a year or two.
That's why you wanted to bang her.
That's exactly what it is, yeah.
I know I said a lot of awful things in this program, and I apologize for none of them.
I didn't see it going that way, actually. I thought you were going to apologize. Yes, Sugar and Spice is a fantastic movie. You will like it. It was my number two pleasant surprise. When I saw it, I was just shocked at how funny it was and how sharp it was and random and all those wonderful things.
Now, you're doing this just because you don't want to have Zero Dark Thirty as number one, which is the obvious choice.
No, American Psycho is my number one, obvious choice.
Really?
And so as opposed to talking about that movie again, I'm talking about Sugar and
Spice.
You
read the book?
No.
American Psycho? So I was very disappointed with the movie because I read the book. And I think it's hard to... that's one of the reasons why I don't read. It ruins movies. But... I remember being a little disappointed and thinking, you know what? It needed more of like a gross guy's take on that. I think that the lady, she might have maybe pulled some punches.
Interesting. I don't know. I haven't read the book.
Maybe pulled some punches. Oh, you know, I was reading this article the other day about top five almost horrible castings.
Okay. And ooh, near miss bad castings?
Yeah, somebody crazy was supposed to be, this is horrible because I don't have the answer, but, it was Leonardo DiCaprio.
Was supposed to be in American Psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that.
That's crazy. Well, watch this one. Oh, you're not going to care. What? Watch it. Logan, Ferris Bueller, you know the actor that plays Ferris Bueller?
Matthew Broderick.
Yes. Can you imagine him as, wait for it, Walter White?
Oh, shoot.
Almost happened. Almost happened. You don't even know who Walter White is. Stop saying wow. You're not a part of the club. You don't
he's
watch.
He's the fucking Madman guy. He's the Madman ad guy. He's the ad executive.
No, you're doing that on purpose, right?
He's the Sons of Anarchy guy. He's the fucking zombie. Chopping zombie
nobody,
heads off.
Nobody thought that Bryan Cranston could have done it, though, either.
That's true.
He's the dad in Walt in Malcolm Middle.
I would like to have seen that.
Don't you wish there could be like a parallel universe and like just like almost as much as like going in the future or the past, I would like to be able to just see a different thread. And see,
yeah.
So true. I could watch. I would just watch like movies that are cast with different. Like I'd go back and see like O.J. Simpson as the Terminator.
Yeah,
that's what I would do.
You'd be like, that's right. He was supposed to be the Terminator. You'd be like,
where's Anderson? He's in that alternate universe watching.
Flick Freshers this week. The Terminator starring O.J. Simpson.
All right.
Logan, did you see Sugar and Spice?
A long time ago, probably when I was in high school or earlier.
Right.
I don't remember much of it.
Oh, trust me, it was great. What's your top five?
Where's Anderson? He's watching Mike Tyson starring in Milk. Can you imagine Milk? Mike Tyson? Harvey Milk?
You don't have to.
I would pay money to see that.
He wouldn't have to fake his lisp.
That was low blow, Brian. That's worse than anything that I said.
What?
That was worse than me.
He has a lisp.
Claiming that Catherine Bigelow is such a good director, she must have a dick. Rude.
All right.
Horrible.
From the listeners, number five, Catherine Bigelow's Point Break.
Wow, number five. Oh, wait. Because they did it right.
Oh, yeah, the movie's nice.
Number four, Lost in Translation by Sofia Coppola.
I'm abandoning all of you listeners. You're dead to me.
Number three, Catherine Bigelow's The Hurt Locker.
Oh, they're back.
Who is she?
She's a famous, well-known female director.
Number two, another Catherine Bigelow movie, Zero Dark Thirty.
Smart. Wow. Smart
all
move.
Over the list.
And the number one movie directed by female directors, or by a female director, is American Psycho.
Yeah.
Look at that, bro.
Number one. That's a fucking great movie, man. You think Killing Ike Shot Andy Warhol is better?
No, there's no way you would think so. But it's as memorable. But you know what? American Psycho's forever fucked for me because of the goddamn book. Reading the book, it makes it, you know. Don't ever read books, guys, because then you go see the movie. And
except
never...
for mine, definitely read that.
Settle down, shrinkage. If American Psycho as a movie lived in a vacuum and I wasn't aware of the Bateman that I
it's
had.
It's such an Anderson movie, too.
If I had, but I had him created as something very not him in my head. It was very different. You know what I mean? I loved the card scene. That was stole the movie. That was the best part of the whole movie for me.
The son of a bitch came out of the watermark.
The business card scene, but the movie itself, I just kept going back to, why didn't they do this part? Why books ruin things.
Yeah.
Don't read them.
Agreed.
And original movies ruin remakes, so stop watching those, too.
So no also-rans?
No, because I don't want to give you ideas. You're going to do this in a few weeks. In about 3 months, we're going
to
do this.
Somebody I want to talk about.
Logan, hold us to this, yeah? When we can't come up with one, when you'll be like, hey, movies, women movies for you, Anderson, and... directors.
I'd rather your top five documentaries directed by women.
Settle down. We can do that too, all right? We got years together. Let's hold hands.
Gambling time. Look, what are we gambling on? Did Anderson win this week? Fuck.
All right. Well, last week you guys gambled on About Last Night.
Oh, this is like a weirdly high score.
I almost saw this today.
At the time, it had an unusual score of 100% because it only had 5 reviews. Anderson bid 57, Brian 25.
Smart.
Now, currently, the Wednesday after release, About Last Night's Rotten Tomato score is
77%.
Oh,
77?
Anderson the winner.
It's Paul Coffey.
This is a good movie?
It's Paul Coffey. I think for what it is, it might be.
All right, what are you going to assign me to see? What am I going to be assigned to
Freeway
see?
2, we've already discussed it. Go
what, enjoy. Am I, going to be assigned to see?
Freeway 2, and that's your punishment?
I'm not watching Freeway 2.
Yeah, Freeway 2.
I'm not watching
that's,
Freeway 2.
Yes, and that's your punishment for bringing up that goddamn Slums of Beverly Hills over and over again.
What?
Settle down.
How is that punishment? It's a good movie.
Follow two couples of the journey.
Right, what do you want me to say?
I just told you.
I'm not seeing Freeway 2.
Why are you not seeing that?
Because
I'm assigning you that.
You know why? Because it's admittedly a bad movie. And because I don't assign
Vincent
you,
Gallo,
I've never assigned you a bad movie.
Isn't it?
All you know...
Vincent Gallo.
Hold on a second.
It? Just Friends is a terrible fucking movie, Brian. Babies is not a movie made for Anderson, and I sat through that shit. You will watch Freeway 2, you will have more Matthew Bright in your life, and just be happy that I'm not telling you to watch Tiptoe.
I have a question for you.
Tiptoes.
What do Freeway 2, S. Darko, and Fred, the movie, have in common?
I want to know about S. Darko because I never saw it. I assigned you all those movies.
You do so much goddamn blustering about, oh, you're careful. I got it in my pocket. I got bashed up in my pocket. And I'm like, Anderson, I've never assigned you a movie that I thought was bad.
All right, you know what? I've been waiting to flickfest this movie for a while because I don't want people to send away for it because it's not everyone's cup of tea.
Here we go.
Okay? If you're going to balk at my Freeway 2, which you will probably enjoy more than Leviathan, fine. Leviathan. And next week, we will both flickfest it together, okay? Because I got a shit ton of notes on this movie. I want to talk about it, but I want it to be more readily available to the listener so they could pop it on with an old stream there, give it 10, 15 minutes, and if they got sucked in like I did, then they wouldn't be mad. Or they'd be great. I just don't want people to send away for this fucking thing because it's not everyone's cup of tea.
I literally know nothing about this movie.
Enjoy.
Should I do any research at all or just pop it in?
Just know that it's...
Don't tell me. Just pop it in.
I'm just going to use one word. Experimental documentary.
All right.
It's experimental.
It's a documentary? I didn't even know that.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
It's a documentary.
I'll pop it in.
Experimental. And enjoy. I look forward to talking about this with you next week.
Okay, man.
Fantastic. Leviathan. And then Freeway 2 will be after that.
No! All right, Logan, what are you gambling on this week?
All right, this week you're going to be gambling on Game of Thrones, the movie, which is also known as Pompeii.
That wasn't funny.
Thank you.
Game of Thrones, the movie, also known as Pompeii. Okay. What else comes out this week? I'm just curious. Okay, never mind.
3 Days to Death or something?
Oh, the Kevin Costner fleck?
Yeah, there's not really a whole lot coming out this weekend.
Pompeii. Like a movie. See that shit.
All right. Are you ready?
Read what that headline says right there.
I'm on IMDb right now, and I'm on the comment section for About Last Night, and one of the comments with the thread title was, "Maybe I am a racist?
Question mark.
But for God's sakes, can producers come up with an original story that's not a remake with black actors in the roles of original white or Hispanic leads? Is everybody a racist because they... Why am I reading some random person's fucking thing?
I agree with that.
Okay.
Pump it.
All right, I got my vote ready. I'm ready to go here.
Okay, what's
you ready?
11!
11.
I have 38%.
Okay.
I was burned by last week's About Last Night.
11.
All right, well, currently the Wednesday before release, Pompeii has no reviews and no Rotten Tomato score.
I'm winning. I'm winning. Oh shit! You know what? I need to see about last night. It's Steve Pink. He is the guy that directed the Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh.
And he was a big fan of this guy. Who am I pointing at?
You.
Yeah. Steve Pink and I got along famously. Really? I need to go support him and see About Last Night. All right, I'm going to see About Last Night. So next week, we're going to be flick-fasting two very different movies in Leviathan and About Last Night.
Bring him in sometime. Let him talk to us on the phone ball.
I could probably get him on the phone ball.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Good
solid dude.
A little off. A little weird.
Well, who amongst us isn't? Thank you very much, Burning Avalanche, our feature artist of the week, Austin, Texas's own Burning Avalanche. Check him out, AndersonandBrian.com, and that's where you go to do all your clicking through to the Amazon banner, which we appreciate. It's also where you go to comment on the episodes. We read them, we digest them, we reject them out of hand. Check out those films we talked about. What a bell. So yeah, become a feature artist. Send in your stuff. Send in your artwork. This week, Kyle Hildreth did his, and we liked it, and we put it up. Thanks, Kyle.
And, have I seen it? I haven't seen it yet.
No, but it's really good. Nice. I forgot to show it to you before the show, but I will show it to you right after.
Yeah. What else can I say? Facebook.com/TheFilmVault. Twitter @TheFilmVault. Thanks for listening. Anderson?
We do it for Van Gogh.